The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
After the long prayer sermon of chapter 9, Nehemiah and his friends entered into a reaffirmation of the Mosaic covenant with a seal. This seal signified their submission to God and His law. The prayer of chapter 9 was heartfelt and sincere, but it's important to perform after the prayer. And we find in chapter 10 that this faithful remnant did just that. They performed on what they had prayed. Join us today as we begin to look at how they reaffirm their commitment and submission to God.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
studying in the book of Nehemiah, and we have come now to the 10th chapter. You may recall that the main subject of chapter 9 was a long public prayer in praise to God. It was really, really kind of a sermon in prayer, but it was a pretty good summation, if you will, of the history of the nation of Israel and their disobedience and their chastening by God, and then they would get close to God again, and then they would fall away, and then they would be chastened, and it was just a cycle where they would keep falling away and coming back, which really kind of sounds like our lives, I think. We can all agree that that seems to be where we are so many times. And it ended in verse 38 with all of the people there being led by the priests and the Levites and Nehemiah, entering into a covenant, it says. Because of all this, verse 38, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. It was as if the whole people, in a sense, voted to do this, and then the leader signed it. And that's kind of, you know, we're familiar with that in a representative government. We vote as a people for certain policies, and then our leaders are supposed to implement those. And so that's what they did here. And now the prayer has ended, and the promises have been made. So, you know, we sometimes have no problem with making the promises and saying the prayers, but it's the performance that gets me often. I can pray and I can promise God, you know, I can make a deal with God, if you will, say, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this, if you'll do that, and that sort of thing. And so, but sometimes it's the performance that gets me, okay? It's important to follow through. But we see here that this remnant that's back in Jerusalem, they followed through. They performed. And so that's what chapter 10 is all about. First of all, it deals with those who sealed. And I'm just going to read this. It's a lot of names like we have before, but God put this here for a reason. And I think it's, you know, important that we just read through it and see who these names are. We have no idea, you know, who most of them are, but we see Nehemiah and we see others that we've heard about before in this chapter, so, or in this book. So in chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, now those that sealed, that's those that signed their names to this reaffirmation. And by the way, let me stop and say this too. The nation of Israel had a history of reaffirming the covenants. Now, this is the covenant to keep the law. This is when the law was given on Mount Sinai. God gave them the law and they bound themselves with a curse, really. They said, if we don't keep this law, then Lord, you can chasten us. And if we do keep it, the Lord's going to bless us. But they agreed to it then, and throughout their life, their history, there would be times under David when they reaffirmed the covenant. Samuel, same thing. There were different times when they reaffirmed the covenant. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just understand, it's not the eternal covenant of grace. That doesn't have to be reaffirmed. You don't have to worry about God, oh, well, I'm about to let this slip. I better reaffirm it. God's covenant of grace isn't with you anyway. It's for you, but it's not with you, okay? But sometimes in our lives, it's good for us to go back and reaffirm our commitment to the Lord. You know, it's important that we commit to Him. You know, that's not Arminian teaching. That's good Bible teaching. We ought to commit ourselves to God. Now, we can't do that if we're dead alien sinners. We know that. We have to be born again. But we're talking to, I trust I'm talking to born again children of God tonight. So we need to take a lesson from them that they recommitted to God here. And so now, verse 1. Now, those that sealed were Nehemiah, the Tirshatha, that's the governor. That's the name the Persians had for governor. The son of Hakaliah and Zidkijah, Sariah and Azariah, Jeremiah, Pashur, Amariah, Malkijah, Hattish, Shebaniah, Maluk, Hiram, Meramoth, Obadiah, Daniel, Ginnathon, Baruch, Meshulam, Abijah, Mijamin, Meazamah, Bilgai, Shimei. These were the priests. So this is the first category here. So here's the priests. In verse 9, the Levites.
both Jeshua, the son of Azaniah, Binui of the sons of Henadad, Kadmiel, and their brethren, Shebaniah, Hodijah, Kalida, Peliah, Hanan, Micah, Rehob, Hashabiah, Zakur, Sherebiah, Shebaniah, Hodijah, Bani, Binui, the chief of the people. Now we see, we're getting to the leaders of the people. Verse 14, Parosh, Pahathmoab, Elam, Zatui, Bani, Buni, Azgad, Bibai, Adonijah, Bigvai, Aden, Ater, Hizkijah, Azar, Hodijah, Hashem, Bizayah, Harif, Anathoth, Nibai, Migpash, Meshulam, Hazir, Meshezabil, Zadok, Jadua, Pelatiah, Hanan, Ananiah, Hoshea, Hananiah, Hashab, Elohesh, Peleha, Shobek, Rehum, Hashabna, Meashiah, and Ahijah, Hanan, Anan, Maluk, Harim, Baena. And all these people, I think it's 84 names if you count them up, including Nehemiah, they put their seal on the covenant. They were priests, they were Levites, and they were leaders representing the people. Now this seal, I decided to look up that word seal because I always like to do word studies when I can. And that word seal in Hebrew literally means to close up or to make an end or to seal up, okay? And it carries the idea in my mind of sealing up a leak or closing up a hole, okay? And you might even bring it forward to our terminology today, closing a loophole even, you know? It's the idea, it's more serious. This is more serious than just verbally affirming a contract, okay? This is putting your name to it. This is risking your reputation. You know, I can say, sure, I'll keep it, I'll do it. But when you go to sign it and put your name to it, you know, we feel that way today, don't we? I've had people come to me and say, well, hey, would you do this? Would you do that? Sure, I'll be glad to. I'll get to it when I can. Okay, here's a contract to sign it. I'm saying, well, wait a minute. I need to call my brother or my son-in-law and let them look it over, you know, before we do that, because it's more serious when you put your name to it, right? It shouldn't be. Let me just say this. It shouldn't be. We're going to see in a minute that we don't even really need oaths. They shouldn't have then. They didn't really need them then, but I understand they did this, I believe, with the blessing of God. But Jesus said our yea should be yea and our nay, nay. In other words, we ought to be able to rely, people ought to be able to rely upon what we say. But this was a solemn oath. They were reaffirming the covenant. They were reaffirming the covenant here, and these 84 names, they entered into a solemn oath to obey God. But now look in verse 28, and the rest of the people, okay? We see the rest of the people ratifying what their brethren had done here. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands under the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God, of the Lord our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes. The rest of the people here, including women and children, it says, okay, they ratified what the leaders had done. That word, verse 29, they clave to their brethren. That word clave means to fasten upon or to seize and be strong, okay? So what had happened here is they had heard the word of God read distinctly and explained. You remember back in chapter 8, we heard about that. And they fastened upon it. They seized upon it, and they stood strong with their brethren. And it says they entered into a curse, verse 29. That word curse simply means an oath, but it kind of carries the idea of an oath with consequences for not keeping it, okay? And it says they entered into a curse and into an oath, which is just a sworn attestation. And it often is an attestation of innocence that really kind of carries that idea. It's an oath and a curse swearing that they will be innocent of breaking the law, this law. Now you see, Ezra has been involved in this, the scribe. And he would likely have read from some of the law. They were reading from the law. But he would likely have read from the law about the seriousness of the consequences of not keeping it. When you enter into that law, and into that oath rather, to keep the law, there were some serious consequences for not keeping it. Back over in Deuteronomy chapter 29, let's just look there just for a moment, and we'll see what Ezra probably would have read to them. We don't know this for sure, but they read the book of the law, and this is part of the book of the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, it starts out saying, "These are the words of the covenant." See, we're still talking about the covenant, "which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant that he had made with them in Horeb." And he called them together. This is, and by the way, if you notice, there's a lot of repetition from Exodus to Deuteronomy. But the word Deuteronomy means basically the second time. Deuteronomos. Nomos is law. It's the second giving of the law. It's before Moses died. He reaffirmed all that he had said from Mount Sinai 40 years earlier. He reaffirmed all that to them, okay? So these are the words of the covenant. And it says, "Moses called all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his lands." And he goes, and unto all his land. And then he goes on to tell what God has done. He's led them in the wilderness. They have verse 5 says, "I led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot." He goes on to talk about all the miraculous ways that God has taken care of them while they're wandering in this wilderness land. And now skip down to verse 10, and this is what I want to get to. He says, verse 9, "Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do." Now, verse 10, "Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, and all with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day." Remember, this is not the eternal covenant of grace. This is the covenant of the law that he gave unto them. "That he may establish," verse 13, "that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Now, I don't have time to go into all that, but just understand that this is not talking about for the first time ever he's finally become their God. You know, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, in this covenant, you're a special people to me. Now, he's God of all of his children. He's God of all the universe. And he has a covenant relationship from the eternal covenant of grace with every single one of his elect children. But with the nation of Israel, he established a special covenant here and now. Remember this morning we talked about eternal salvation versus time salvation? This is time salvation. This is a timely covenant. It doesn't have to do with eternity, okay? And he's established them for a people unto himself. In one place, we're called a peculiar people. Now, let me just stop here and say this. The church is not the new Israel. I'm not saying, you know, it's not just a flowing, continuous thing. The church is a new thing. The church is the kingdom of God on earth, okay? But like Israel, we are the visible aspect of that kingdom, okay? We are a special people. You know, there's many people that are children of God in the world, but they're not part of the church. They've never followed the Lord in New Testament baptism. They've never committed themselves to a local body, okay? So like Israel, the church is something special to God. So in this day, Israel was a special people. It wasn't the only people of God, but they were a special people of God. And that's what he says. This law, this makes a difference between you and the rest of the world. And by the way, the church makes a difference between us and the rest of the world. But be that as it may, he goes on to say this now, beginning in verse 14, and I don't know how much of this we'll read, but you'll get the gist of it. He said, "Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, how we came through the nations which ye passed by. Ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them." This is just, he's just saying, we're binding, the people that are gathered here with Moses are binding the entire nation, okay, in a representative capacity, if you will. He said, he's reminding them of the abominations of the idolaters that live around them. And he said, don't forget that, in verse 18, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. That's a poisonous herb. Gall is a poisonous herb there. He said, if you're turning away from God in your heart, that's like gall and wormwood in your heart. And it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse, this binding oath, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. Essentially what he's saying here is that you don't be like the people that say, we'll just serve the Lord any way we want to. Whatever suits us, that's what we're going to do. Because God is whoever I want him to be. He's in my little box, and I'm just going to treat him like that, and you know, I'll bring him out when I need him, but mostly I'm just going to do my own thing, okay? He said, if you get lifted up in your heart and you bless yourself in your heart, say, I'm doing all right. I don't need God. I don't need all these rules. Then notice what happens, verse 20. If you do that, the Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. I wish I had time to go into all that. This is not, again, remember the context. We're not talking about eternity. We're talking about, he says this, under heaven. We're not, he makes it clear. He's not talking about you can be saved eternally one day and lost eternally the next, okay? He's talking about a timely salvation here.
We're going to pause the message here for now, but we want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.